Good morning and welcome to our Celebration of Joy service. Whoever you are and wherever you are along your journey of faith, you are welcome here. We're glad you're here this morning. And a special word of welcome to our visitors. We're always pleased to have visitors with us, and we hope that you make yourselves at home. We have welcome cards in the racks in front of you. We invite all worshiping to take a moment, fill out a card, place it in the offering, and I will pray for you following the service. If you have a special prayer request, let us know about that, and we'll include that in our ministry prayer ministries this week. Nandine Graven will be here at the end of the service to give our moment for mission about the Circle of Gentle Grace. But let me turn your attention to a few of our announcements. There are two celebrations of eternal life for members who have died recently. Dick Harden's service is this Friday at 2 o'clock. And Mary Fawcett's service is Saturday at 11 o'clock. Both of those are here. As we've talked about last week and before, actually, that during cold and flu season, we encourage you not to shake hands unless you really want to do that when you're passing the peace, but just simply smile and greet one another. And as I said last week, I'm doing the elbow bump on the way out so that I'm not passing along any germs. So it's always better to be a little precautious. Our Lenten soup suppers continue this Wednesday at 5:30, followed by Holden evening prayer at 6:30. Members of our faith community will share their faith stories with us. If you can bring something, the signups are on the table in our fellowship hall, Luther Hall. So stop by for some refreshments following the service and sign up if you are able. Also, when you're over there on that table where the signups are for the soups, is the explanation about the different kind of Easter baskets that are being done for folks at Interfaith making a transition in their housing. So you'll see instructions on what's needed, pick out something that you're able to bring for those baskets, and then later on in Lent, you'll bring them and the kids will put those together for our neighbors in need. Next Sunday following this service, we're been invited by Pastor Christine Buma to join her in a celebration of her anniversary of ordination and also her retirement. She's hosting some food for us after services. So come on by and greet her and enjoy some refreshments. Pastor Christine's been worshiping for us almost a year, and we'll be joining with our next group. Also, the notes about the adult forum coming up next week. And our concert series presents the Ascent Trio, wonderful jazz group, on March 29th at 4 o'clock. Invite your friends and family. Those are the announcements. Lord God, you call us to follow Jesus. You call us to be a blessing to others. You call us to love one another as you have first loved us. Open up our hearts to that love. Let us see the way that you so love this world. And let us reflect that love in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of John, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you will hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The words we've just heard, read, seen from the Gospel of John are perhaps some of the most famous in the Bible. Certainly they contain the most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." It's a wonderful verse. Martin Luther called it the Gospel in miniature. Maybe if you're like me, you memorized it when you were younger. It's a great confirmation verse to remember because it's kind of easy. Since my father was a pastor, my sister and I, besides playing cops and robbers with the neighborhood kids or doing scavenger hunts or dodgeball, we'd also hold little weddings in the neighborhood. And I was a pastor. In those days, girls couldn't be pastors, so I got to be a pastor. And when I was about 6 years old, these would take place, and we'd marry different kids in the neighborhood. And I'd use my small white New Testament, and I'd turn to John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but he have eternal life." And if it was really a fancy wedding, I'd read John 3:17, too. "Indeed, God did not send the Son, his Son, into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." John 3:16, you see it at sporting events. The TV cameras zoom up. Sometimes they don't even have the John, it's just 3:16. You know what it is, though. The problem is maybe this verse has gotten too well known for us, and we think of it just as this lovely platitude. But I think that all of us have come here this morning for more than nice platitudes. We're dying to hear some good news. We need some because we're bombarded by bad news. We have complicated lives, and there are hard questions that bother us, and we worry, and we want some answers. We live in fear of this coronavirus, or we live with political and economic uncertainty. I find that I have more questions these days than answers. How about you? My hunch is that we're kind of like Nicodemus. We all come into this place with our questions, and we're eager for some answers. I know that your struggles, like mine, are real. Your questions and your challenges need serious attention. Well, is love enough? Shouldn't we just preach love? That was what I remember Carolyn, my youngest, said to me years ago when she was a little kid, maybe 6 years old. "Dad, will you get up and do a sermon? Stand up there and says God and say God loves you, and sit down already. That's enough." So what is it with this love? This is good news about this all-consuming love of God, this passion that gets God, the one that looks at the world through eyes of love, this love that consumes God, because God just loves the world to death. The one who loves every child in this world. And what does that mean then for us as followers of Jesus? And what does it mean for God? What does this love cost God? What do you think? We've got questions, don't we? And we want some answers. Certainly Nicodemus did. The gospel story of Nicodemus and Jesus is really a story of a faith journey. Nicodemus was a person of faith, great faith. He was a Pharisee. He wanted to do what was right. Not only was he a Pharisee, but John says he was a leader of the Pharisees, a member of the ruling council. Yet something had challenged his faith after he met Jesus, and he needed to ask Jesus some questions, challenge his belief, and so he comes to Jesus at night because he's afraid of his position, lest someone see him. Nicodemus has spent his whole life being religious, we can assume that, trying to do the right things to please God. He tried to have a reasonable faith, be good and do good things, and good things will follow. That's reasonable. Yet now his religion was not enough, and he has questions, and he brings them to Jesus because Jesus has stirred up his faith. John says Nicodemus has seen the signs Jesus did, the miracles, the signs, and he knows that Jesus is from God. Otherwise, he couldn't do signs like this. Nicodemus looks a lot like us. People who appear sometimes to have it all together. Yet under the surface, we struggle. He worships regularly. He tries his best to be religious. He's just a good and decent person. He wants the world to make sense, but something is wrong. Nicodemus looks a lot like you and me. I read this week the writing of a social commentator who doesn't necessarily write about faith issues, but he is a person of faith, and he said this. There are all these people I know and work with who have experiences and feelings they don't know what to do with. They have no vocabulary to explain what they're feeling. And they have no suspicion that these experiences might have something to do with faith. Or that faith might have anything to say that would explain what they're feeling. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night for answers. Yet the more he talks with Jesus, the more questions he had. Do you notice that? They have this conversation that goes here and there, back and forth. What kind of a vision is Jesus calling us to? In order to see that God's kingdom, God's agenda is all around us, we have to see it. And Nicodemus can't see it yet. Do you? Do you see it? What does it mean to be born from above? A new birth that gives us a way to look, John says, to look at the world, to see the world in a new way. And what does the Spirit of God have to do with all this? Why does the wind blow like the wind does? It's uncontrolled. It has a nature of its own. You mean the love of God is uncontrolled? We can't control it? And the love of God is for all of God's children. God so loves not just those who we love, but loves the whole darn world. So he gave his only son. So that everyone who believes in him will have this abundant, real life that lasts forever, begins now and lasts forever. We come to Jesus for answers, and Jesus instead invites us into a relationship of faith, of trust. Come and see. At the beginning of the Gospel of John, the first words that Jesus utters when some disciples of John the Baptist are following him, he looks back and says, "What are you looking for?" They say, "Where do you live? Where do you abide?" And he says, "Come and see. Come with me. Come and you will see." For seeing is believing, and truth be told, believing is seeing. Come and trust. That's what that word believes means here. Trust. Come and follow. Come and see the world through these eyes of love. Come and live this love of Jesus. The gospel writer John tells us that Nicodemus was a secret follower of Jesus. Nicodemus is mentioned two more times in the gospel. He stands up when Jesus is on trial with the ruling council, and he says, no, if you follow the law, this is not right. We can't condemn him. Go back and look at the law. And then the last time that his name is mentioned is at the end of the story, where Nicodemus comes along with Joseph of Arimathea, goes to Pilate and asks for his body so they can anoint his body for burial. And he's one that brings these spices to anoint the body of his teacher. John doesn't out and out say for sure he was a secret disciple, but appears he was. There's a clue here, too, in the amount of spices brought. My seminary teacher of John, brought this up. I remember it. It's 100 pounds of spices. It's crazy. It's over the top. It's only a burial fit for a king. The theory is that Nicodemus, his name is mentioned because he was known in the early church as one of the leaders of the early Christians, one of the followers of Jesus. Nicodemus followed Jesus, even though it meant that he was going to have more questions along the way. We come to Jesus for answers, and instead, he doesn't simply answer all our questions. He invites us into a new way of seeing the world, a new birth. Are you up for a new birth? How in the world do you prepare for that, a new birth? Ever thought of that? Think of our own first birth, you know. There's nothing that we did to prepare for it. Not at all. It was up to mom and dad. Mom did the work. A new birth. The good news is I don't have to do a thing. God does the work. Think of it. I'm the one being reborn, and that's the easy part. God, my heavenly parent, is giving birth. All that weight gain, that's on God, not on me. Discomfort, that's not me. Fretting about the future, about this new kid being born, well, that's on God, that's not on me. And then comes the labor again. This is God. Paul writes about this so wonderfully. He writes that when you are at the point that you can't pray anymore, because it's just too much for you, you simply can't do it. Truth be told, you're at the end of your rope, run out of options. Even then, even when you're in that place when you don't know the best way to pray, you see the Spirit is already sighing for us with groans too deep for words. That's God giving birth to us. Those are the sighs of God. That's God's labor pain. God's love pains. It's God and only God who labors us into this new life. The Spirit sighs with groans too deep for words. Hear that. That's not the one that's being born. That kid sighs or cries later. But those groaning pains of birth are God's. It's the cry of mothers in childbirth. That's our mothering God, loving us in such a way. God is love, which means that God suffers love. To love our suffering, sinful world in such a way as to suffer. You know that too with those that you love. And your life as a disciple of Jesus, you know how it is to love people that God sends your way. It's not always easy, and you're going to suffer if you love them. That's what goes along with this. Unconditional love, unconditional suffering. I've learned that as a parent. It's a reality. And think of God loving in such a way. our deepest questions, our deepest struggles, our secret hurts. If we didn't love so much, it wouldn't hurt so much, right? That's the thing about love. It's messy. Yet would you and I have it any other way? Would we want to live in a world where no one invests in love? What kind of a world would that be? That's the great price tag on this thing called love. Jesus invites us to be born again and come to see the world as God sees the world, through eyes of love. Love is knowing one another's hurts. Love is caring for our neighbors. Love is getting our hands dirty. Love is rubbing elbows with pain and suffering. Love is rubbing elbows with injustice. Jesus invites you to see the world through eyes of love. There's no other way. Love is our destiny, and it's our hope. It's our joy. It's our future. Jesus invites Nicodemus into a new way of seeing the world, the whole darn world, through the eyes of love. That's the way that God loves, and it's crazy. Because it means that we are called to love our enemies as well as our friends. It's risky, because unconditional love also means that your heart's going to break. I can guarantee it. If you love unconditionally, you will suffer unconditionally. There's no way around it, yet God looks at this world through eyes of love. The same God who comes and has already begun starting to wipe away every tear from our eyes so that there will be no more suffering or death or pain. The one who holds you in these arms of love like a proud parent, giving you what you need for an abundant life, a new life, a life that lasts forever and ever. Children of God, you will grow. You will grow in a life of faith and trust and hope. And the good news is that God is prepared, even eager to do the hard, the messy, the sweaty labor that will bring us to maturity and to new life. So sit back and enjoy your rebirth. Enjoy the abundant life, because finally, it's so simple. It's so easy. All you have to do is what you do as a baby, the first thing, breathe. Just breathe. Don't forget to breathe in the breath of God's Holy Spirit over and over again. Don't forget to breathe. That's what you can do. Breathe in the Spirit of God. That's as close to you as the air that you breathe. And one more thing, child of God, that you can do is open your eyes. Open your eyes to this beautiful world that God has placed us into. Open your eyes and see the wonder and the joy and the beauty that's all around us in this world. Open your eyes and see, really see the world through the eyes of God's love. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, help us to love the world as you so love. Open our eyes to the surprising ways you are at work here in this world. Open our hearts to your Holy Spirit that we may be filled with the power of your breath of life. Creating God, all you have made is good. Teach us to care for the earth, the sea, the sky, and all living things with love and reverence. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for our young people and Pastor Carla at camp this weekend. Lord, in your mercy. Be with all those who suffer pain or illness, the ones we name out loud and silently in our hearts. Surround them with your healing, your comfort, and peace. Be with all those who lost homes and loved ones in the storms that ravaged our country this past week. Bring your healing to those affected by the coronavirus. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who suffer as a result of wars, the children, the innocent victims, the military on all sides. We especially remember the people of Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Israel, Palestine, Syria, Sudan, Yemen, India, and other troubled lands. We pray for chaplains at home and abroad. Let us work for that day when swords will be beaten into plows and spears into pruning hooks. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful and gracious God, hear our prayers, restore us to the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with your Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Christ comes to us through the bread and wine of Holy Communion. You're invited to come and form a circle around the altar for Holy Communion. If you would rather remain seated, you may come to the front pew, or we can bring communion to you. We pray now the prayers of our children. We're thankful for birthday parties, for life, essentials, for food and water and air, for plants, friends, and family. We ask God for world peace, for cures for illness, and to end racism. We're thankful for friends, family, dad, and Pokemon, for watching movies, for rain that waters our plants and our ancestors. Thankful God, into your hands, receive these prayers of our children. Holy God, our living water and our merciful guide, together with rivers and seas, wells and springs, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert and provided them water from the rock. We praise you for Christ, our rock and our water, who joined us in our desert and poured out for us this love for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after the supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your spirit on this holy food and on all the baptized gathered here for this feast. Wash away our sin that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through Christ, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Gracious God, help us to pray that your agenda of shalom will be our agenda as well. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God, a foretaste of the great feast to come. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace unto life everlasting. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
Good morning. My name is Dr. Nadine Graven. I haven't seen or met many of you, as God saw fit to make me a night owl and not a morning person. And it was kind of a little bit of a joke this morning. It was also daylight savings. But I'm here and very happy to be here and meet some of you. The Circle of Gentle Grace is what our board is out there in the entryway there. It was conceived after the thoughtful insight and influence of Sean, Peggy, and Pastor Cindy Jones, who was here earlier this year. They reminded us that many people have invisible disabilities as well as visible disabilities. Sean made us aware that there are a large number who would like to attend church but are afraid to come. After much discussion and input, we have decided or come up with a badging system. This, we felt, would help the disabled feel safer and welcomed. And the thought behind it was sometimes people don't like to talk about what's going on with them. It doesn't matter if they had a bad week or they just got fired or recovering from a broken leg, any of those sorts of things. The white badge indicates a stable disability or they're in support and solidarity with those with disabilities. A green badge, which will have a Circle of Gentle Grace logo on it, is a person with a more severe disability, but they are having a good day and can be gently approached. A red badge indicates that they're having a more challenging day for whatever reason, and that that person which is extra space and extra care. And I think that's the badge that probably is the most important of all of them. And no one is required to wear a badge, but anyone can wear a badge. It also seems to be a good thing in these days of communicable diseases. It also works if you're recovering from surgery or if you have a cold. You can wear a red badge. Or in my case, I need a red badge until I get my next cup of coffee. We are going to continue to educate, and we welcome feedback from any and all, or if anyone has any other ideas. We have also begun this process by creating more space for wheelchairs and walkers, where in my case, my father visited over Christmas, and he can't stand up without pushing on the arms of a chair. So Pastor David kindly put a chair over there with arms, and it made a huge difference, huge difference. I didn't have to have three people haul us up out of his pew. This adds to our hearing loop system and large print bulletins. We wish to make this a safe place and a welcoming place for all people. And in my case, we went to 8 or 10 other Lutheran churches before we came here last year. And in every one of them, the only one where people came up to me, welcomed me, both pastors, first day, was amazing. It was such a whopping difference. And if you don't attend other churches, which clearly you're here, I would just like to make you aware of that. This is a wonderful place, a welcoming place, way above where others have been. And I kind of feel like going back and talking to some of them, but that's another story. So, at any rate, that's all I've got.
Thank you, Dindy. And thank you, Sean, for your help getting this going. I got it.
If anybody has any questions, Sean, Pastor Dave.
And Peggy. And Peggy's on the patio today, and she has the poster with the different signages for the badges. So come and look at that and ask any questions you have. If you're like Nicodemus, we have questions. Go in peace. Follow Jesus. Thanks be to God.